If you're a label reader, this one's for you. Because your skin deserves more than empty promises. At Hiba Botanica, every formula is made in-house. In small batches using organic, truly non-toxic ingredients. Plastic-free packaging, clean, effective botanicals. And safe for all skin types, even acne-prone. No greenwashing, no filler. Just skincare that's gentle, non-comedogenic, and designed with intention. Hiba Botanica. Non-toxic, plastic-free. Always safe for your skin. Shop online at HibaBotanica.com. That's
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. From the surface of the planet Earth, we go to low Earth orbit with SpaceX. This is a bus route. This is an ordinary bus route. Bob Zimmerman is here. He keeps the website Behind the Black. We're celebrating SpaceX one more time because it's so ordinary. Bob, what did they achieve? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, you mentioned a ferry bus service, and that's one of the two things they accomplished this past weekend, among many other things they accomplished this past weekend. But they launched another cargo Dragon to ISS. That cargo capsule was making its fourth flight. The first stage of the Falcon 9 rocket completed its fifth flight, landing unsuccessfully on a drone ship in the Atlantic, which is... They are, I think it was the 197th time they have landed that first stage. You know, something that was impossible and couldn't be done and wasn't practical, according to every engineer and manager in the rocket industry from 1970 through 2015. And they are, they carried 7,000 pounds of supplies to ISS, including new solar arrays for ISS. They also, this past weekend, launched a Falcon 9 rocket carrying 22 second-generation Starlink satellites to orbit. That launch, let me see here. Let me make sure I get the numbers right here. The first stage on that was making its second flight. Its third flight. The two ferrying halves completed their sixth and ninth flights successfully. All we've been told for a half a century was impossible. The point is that SpaceX is basically making ordinary what was considered impossible just less than a decade ago. And they're doing it because they didn't accept accepted wisdoms. They used their brains and said, let's do things. Right now, SpaceX by itself leads the rest of the world, in launches, 38 to 36. That includes the other American company that's launched
Rocket Lab. Yeah, don't really include Rocket Lab with that. That's not a... You know, SpaceX is out launching China.
Yes. More than double. 43 launches to 20 for China. And basically, SpaceX is the launch company in the world. And for decades, one of the reasons the managers and engineers said it was no point reusing the first stage is said, oh, you'll never get enough business to justify the reusability. Well, of course, what it does is it reduces costs. So what happens? The amount of business grows, and SpaceX has a lot more business to fly. And, in fact, they're using this cheap way to get to orbit to launch Starlink. They're making billions already on Starlink from the sales of that operation, as you are one of their customers, John. So that's the achievement for the weekend from SpaceX. But, of course, it isn't all. So let's move on.
Yes, what I enjoy about Starlink is that they're raising the monthly fees. I laughed. I said, of course you are. they've got a sure thing. It's a monopoly. Well, the FTC better keep it quiet. We'll be showing up momentarily. Detail, Bob, about these launches and the reusability and all of that, as we observe now, how this means that they can make money. China drops its first stages on its own people. I'm not familiar with that model from SpaceX or from NASA's point of view. What was the big holdback about reusability? Is there one version of why the engineers who trained the engineers that are now launching these reusabilities, what held them back? Was it conventional wisdom? Was it secrecy? Was it something about the state dominating?
Laziness. No one really decided. There was no interest in competition from the big space rocket companies that existed before, partly because that industry was destroyed by the space shuttle. The government stepped in and said there will be no American launch industry. Everything will launch from the space shuttle. So the American launch industry was decimated. When the shuttle was no longer could launch commercial rockets, it took a long time for that industry to recover, partly because the companies that remained were basically just government contractors. They weren't interested in gaining market share, so they weren't competing with each other. And so they were just lazy. They weren't even trying to figure out ways to cut costs. They weren't just interested. They weren't interested. It wasn't until SpaceX and Elon Musk came along that suddenly there was an interest in trying to reduce costs and competing. Competing is the big thing. So it was laziness more than anything else, John. There were probably some engineers at these companies that were saying, hey, we could do this, and their managers were just not interested.
So there's no technology.
Any money in this.
There's no technology that didn't exist in 1965 that we're using to land a first stage.
Yes, there is technology. I mean, software capabilities are much higher. You know, the ability to land by software, for these rockets to work autonomously by software, that's something that had to come along. But that doesn't mean it couldn't have happened a decade before SpaceX, or even two decades. Because if you are competing and trying to figure out how to do this, well, then you develop the software. So that software might have started to come into fruition a decade or two earlier if someone had been pushing for it. And so, you know, as far as I'm concerned, it's laziness. There was no desire to do this. You know, when you watch the launches, it's really interesting to watch that first stage. What SpaceX does is it doesn't actually aim the first stage to the drone ship. It puts the drone ship where that first stage would almost naturally land. It does an arc. It goes up and then it comes down. And all they do with their engine firings is to slow it down enough so it doesn't get damaged by the atmosphere. And control the landing. That's really all they do. They use the minimum amount of fuel to bring it down safely in the drone ship. They allow the arc of flight to do its own thing. And that's just a little bit of common sense. And of course, I didn't know any of this. I'm not an engineer. But when I watch these launches, I see that's exactly what they decided to do. Wait, we can, if we put a drone ship under where it normally crashes, we don't even need a lot of software to get it to land in about the same spot. We just need to do a little bit of refinement of its flight. And that means we don't even have to use a lot of fuel. And that means we can get our payloads in orbit and still get the first stage back. They just used their brains, something no one had done.
To Germany, a startup. What is it, Bob?
This brings us to Germany's decision to emulate the United States and my policy paper, Capitalism in Space, and to allow private startup rocket companies. They got three in Germany. Well, one of them, Rocket Factory Augsburg, last week successfully completed a full-duration engine test burn of the upper stage of its proposed rocket. That means that their upper stage, they assembled it with its tanks and everything, and they did a static fire test of its engines for the full about 4 minutes that would fire. And the result of that, 5 minutes, something like that, the result is that engine is now fully tested. They're going to use the same engine in the first stage, I think SpaceX and its Merlin engine. They're using the same thinking. And they're hoping to launch by the end of this year, first test launch. There's two aspects of this. One, the test was in a private testing facility in Germany. In the past, all such testing had been done under the control of the European Space Agency. This just indicates, once again, that Germany is breaking away from that monopoly and is allowing private enterprise to run this thing. And secondly, and this is a negative, they are aiming to take off from a launch pad they've leased and a building at the Shetland Island Spaceport in the United Kingdom. And this is a concern for them, because can they get their launch permit within a reasonable amount of time, or will they be stuck the same way as Virgin Orbit was by the regulatory agent in the UK? And we're going to have to wait and see, John, about that.
The Chinese space program is civilian-military, non-transparent. But Bob is reporting on a successful maneuver at Tiangong 3, the space station. What happened, Bob?
They just completed a rotation of crew. Pretty much it's the first official operational rotation of crew. They brought three people up, and they were overlapped with the previous crew, and then the previous crew returned. Well, to do that, they had to have two Shenzhou capsules docked with the Tiangong station. And to do that, they only have two real ports for docking. So they had a freighter, a Tianzhou freighter, docked to one of the ports. So they undocked it. Now, traditionally, what the Russians would do with their progress freighters, they would just deorbit at that point. But China didn't do that. They left it in a month-long free flight while those two crews were on board. Well, earlier this weekend, one of those crews undocked and came back to Earth safely, so the port was open again. And so the Shenzhou unmanned freighter was once again docked back to the station. So why did they do this? Well, for one thing, they had to do it for the docking purposes in need of the port. But they're also doing this, I think, to test free formation flight and docking with an unmanned spacecraft, because these are the kind of routine maneuvers they're going to have to do when they launch their Hubble-class optical space telescope next year. The plan was that that telescope will fly freely in formation near the space station, and when it needs maintenance, it will be maneuvered in and dock with the station. That's how I understand it. And then they'll do their repairs or maintenance, just like with Hubble, and then it'll undock and fly freely again. And so I think part of the reason they're doing this kind of testing, docking and undocking, is to refine that exact procedure for the independent flight of their space telescope. Yeah.
So what we're looking at here is China's space program is working effectively in its mission, that everything looks in order, quite separate from dropping boosters on their population.
It's very important to understand about China is that though they steal a lot of the technology, and though they have no real respect for their own citizens in these respects, when they get the technology, they have done a remarkably good job of implementing it and then improving on it. I will say important is just important. They don't just simply copy Xerox it. They then refine it, improve on it, and make it better. And then they use it very effectively, and that's what they've been doing. So we mustn't take anything away from them. In the end, they do things well. I'm expecting fully in the next few years there will be reusable Chinese rockets, just like SpaceX, landing first stages. In fact, I expect at this point them maybe to do it earlier than Western companies because they move fast. So we have to be aware that, yes, they function well.
Caltech succeeded in I'm reading from Bob's copy, transmitting a small amount of electricity from an orbiting CubeSat launched in January to Earth. What is the ambition, Bob? What are they trying to describe?
They are attempting to prove that if you have solar panels in space, garnering engine, you know, gathering up solar power, you can then transmit that power to Earth and provide the Earth an unlimited amount of electricity. This is a prototype test. It is far from successful in terms of doing exactly what I described, but it did achieve that goal of transmitting electricity from a CubeSat in orbit to the ground. They have to refine it a great deal. There are enormous reasons why there's environmental reasons that transmitting such energy to the ground could be a problem. I look at this as something that for future space civilizations will be useful because transmitting electricity from point A to point B in the vacuum of space will be harmless and will be easier than sending it down through our atmosphere. And so I think future space colonies and space civilizations will be using this technology extensively, and that's where the money will
be. This is the science fiction pictures I've seen of having a solar array, a vast solar array, large as North America, in orbit. And then the theory of science fiction is that that is a renewable source of energy that doesn't pollute or damage the environment on Earth. Is that the fantasy?
That's the fantasy, but remember, if you do it, direct transmission of that energy to Earth, that's a lot of energy and power and heat going through the atmosphere. You'll see a lot of dead birds wherever it comes down. So if to get that energy to Earth is a problem that's complex, but to use it in space, however, and to transmit it to a station at another point, well, that's a different story. This could become a very, very nice cottage industry where you're a solar power farm up in space in orbit, and you provide power to multiple space stations. They wouldn't need to have solar panels on the stations anymore. It makes a great deal of sense.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going exploring. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. Chances are you've been to the doctor recently and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft.
LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.